Amen. God bless you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Kids Praise. That was tremendous. Grateful to hear all that y'all have been doing. And if there was any question about the validity of asking our Wednesday evening celebration choir adults to move to Sunday afternoon, I think that you saw the fruit of that just then. And so if you have made that transition from Wednesday night to Sunday afternoon, God bless you, brothers and sisters who are part of our celebration choir, that your flexibility and willingness to move your schedule just allowed that to take place, what we saw this morning. So again, God bless you and thank you. Well, if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Rise Up and Make the Commitment. Rise up and make the commitment. Well, today is the last day, the last Sunday of the intensive portion of our Rise Up Capital campaign. So the last day of our study in Nehemiah in our Sunday school small groups, the last day of our study in Nehemiah in our Sunday morning worship. And so next Sunday, October the 30th, we will be returning to our study of the minor prophets in our Sunday school small groups. I believe the book of Hosea. And we'll be returning to John's Gospel. And we'll be in John chapter 9 next Sunday morning, looking at the sixth sign, the sixth miraculous sign, demonstrating that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And so I hope that you will be in your place next Sunday morning. And again, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to you for your attendance, for your support, for your participation. The last 6 to 7 weeks has been different. It's been unique. But as we talked about last night at the bricklayer banquet, as it relates to capital fundraising, it's something that Emory Baptist Church has been doing for 30 plus years, and how we raise funds for future facilities. But thank you and praise you for being so faithful and supportive. So next Sunday morning, October the 30th, we will report and share with you the total number of contributions for the entire church. Last night we shared at our bricklayer banquet that there has been in excess of $650,000 worth of commitments already brought in to the church office, and we're grateful and thankful for that. Not $650,000 but $650,000 worth of commitments, and we are asking the rest of you, if you have not turned in your commitment card, that you do so this morning. Here is mine. It is filled out. It is signed. And I will be leaving it in the offering plate when I leave this morning. And so if you have not turned in your commitment card, I hope that you'll do that. If you don't have a commitment card, we do have extras available this morning in the foyer so that you can turn one in before you leave. But again, you can put that in the offering plate when you leave, or you can put it in the offering box, but you may have to fold it in order to get it into the offering box. And then on Sunday morning, November the 6th, that will be our first fruits offering, where we're asking you on that Sunday morning to bring as much of your commitment as possible. That may not be much, but again, as much as possible, we're asking for you to bring on Sunday morning, November the 6th. But today, we're going to finish the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to look at what Nehemiah and the nation of Israel, what commitments they made after they rebuilt the city, rebuilt the walls, rebuilt the gates. And we're going to see five this morning, five commitments that they made after rebuilding the city, rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the gates. But I want you to know this morning, I want you to know that what I'm about to share with you as it relates to commitments is independent of a family life center. Whether or not Emory Baptist Church builds a family life center in our immediate future, we're going to be committed. We're going to make these commitments this morning regardless, that we're going to see beginning in Nehemiah chapter 7 through the end of the book, Nehemiah chapter 13. And so the first commitment that we see is actually found in chapter 8 in verse 1. And I want you to know that we're going to be committed to proclaiming God's word. Amen? Amen. We're going to be committed to proclaiming God's word. I want you to listen to Nehemiah chapter 1, chapter 8, verse 1, and as I read through verse 8. It says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him in his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah, and at his left Padiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Verse 7 says, "Also Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodijai, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. And so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading." See, Nehemiah and the people of Israel, they were committed to proclaiming God's word. And if you've ever wondered why it is that we do what we do here at Emory Baptist Church, much of it and the foundation of it is found here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Look again at verse 4. "So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood," or your translation may actually say a podium made of wood. And so normally, a little bit different this morning so that we could see our children's choir just a moment ago, but normally we have a podium of wood here. And notice how the platform is raised above the people. That's what verse 5 says. "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people." And have you ever wondered Why does Brother Richard, on most Sundays, why does he ask us to stand when we read God's word? Well, look there again at the end of verse 5. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. So it's not just something that they necessarily teach you, hey, in seminary, this is how your worship service should go. But it's we find our foundation in God's word. That when we're proclaiming the word of God, that it should happen in a certain order. And it should be according to a certain structure. Now notice in verse 6 that when the people of God heard the word of God, that was worship. That was worship. We most of the time simply think that worship happens through song. And certainly it does. When we sing unto the Lord, that is worship. But notice verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And so if I'm ever asking you or requesting of you to be responsive in the sermon, it goes back to Nehemiah chapter 8, where the people said, Amen, Amen. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And so they were hearing God's word. They were hearing the proclamation of God's word. And that was worship. And then eventually, verses 7 and 8, the priest helped the people understand the meaning of God's word and the application of God's word. Verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So whether we're talking about Sunday morning, whether we're talking about a Sunday school small group, whether we're talking about Wednesday night in kids' praise or youth discipleship or whatever we're doing, brothers and sisters here at Emory Baptist Church, we're going to be committed to proclaiming God's word. Number two. We're going to be committed to remembering God's faithfulness. Through and through, we're going to be committed to remembering God's faithfulness. He has been faithful to us as individuals. He has been faithful to us as a congregation. And we're going to be committed to remembering that again and again and again. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. And those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all the foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place, and they read from the book of the law of their God for one-fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. And then here's what they celebrated. Look there in verse 5. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And follow along. This is going to be the entire chapter, so bear with me. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, which all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, against all the people of the land, for you knew that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself, as it is this day. And you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders. They did that you did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, "This is your God that brought you up out of Egypt," and worked great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations, and divided them into districts. So they took possession of the land of Sihon, the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven and brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued them before them, the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land that they might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of all goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat. You delighted themselves in your great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself. And they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies, who oppressed them in the time of their trouble. When they cried to you, you heard from heaven, and according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings, nor our princes, our priests, nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom or in the many good things that you gave them or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here we are, servants today. And the land that you gave to our father to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it. And it yields much increase to the kings. You have set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure. And we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is faithful. Amen. He was faithful again and again and again with the nation of Israel. And he will be faithful with us, and we will celebrate and remember his faithfulness. By the way, would you look back at verse 38 for just a moment? You know, we're asking today for all commitment cards to be turned in. And I know that there have been some who have been reluctant to turn in a commitment card, reluctant to sign a commitment card. Look at verse 38. Isn't that what's happening there? We make a sure covenant, or in today's word, commitment. And what did they do? They write it. They wrote it down. Our leaders, our priests, our Levites, we've sealed it. In other words, they've pledged to the Lord to fulfill their commitment. And so it's always a head scratcher to me when brothers and sisters write and make a commitment, when they purchase a car and write, when they make a commitment to purchase a house, why we're reluctant to write and make a commitment unto the Lord. Even though we find that foundation in God's word. So we're going to be committed to proclaiming God's word. We're going to be committed to remembering God's faithfulness. We're going to be committed to living according to God's will. Chapter 10 and verse 28. It says, "Now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nethinim, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding." In verse 28 there, when it says that the people of God separated themselves from everyone else, from the people of the land, the word that we use in the New Testament to describe that separation is the word sanctify. We separate ourselves, or we are sanctified from our sin and from the ways of the world. But it's not just that we're sanctified from something. We are sanctified to something. And notice in verse 28, "Also those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God." We are committing to living according to God's will. How do we know God's will? Well, God's will is revealed in God's word. And so if you want to know how to live your life today as an individual follower of Christ, know God's word. If you want to know today how to live your life as a husband and a wife, as a couple, know God's word. Moms and dads, if you're looking for instruction as to how to parent your children today, your teenagers today, know God's word. As we will make a commitment to live according to God's word individually, but also collectively, verse 30, "We would not give our daughters as wives to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons." And so it's not just living according to God's will individually, but collectively as families. And in verse 31, it even indicates that the people of Israel were living according to God's will as it relates to their business. Verse 31, if the peoples of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath. Why? Because they were keeping the Sabbath. For it was holy, or on a holy day, and we would forgo the seventh year's produce and the exacting of every debt. And so they were committed to living according to God's will, individually, collectively, and even in their businesses. Which then leads us there in chapter 10 to the fourth commitment, being committed to giving to God's work. That's what our Rise Up Capital campaign has been about. Not doing the physical work of brick and mortar, but doing the financial work. And notice in verse 32 of Nehemiah chapter 10, also we made ordinances for ourselves to exact from ourselves yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. That's what we're asking you to give to the house of God, to the people of God, to the work of God. But not just giving to the house of God, but what does that mean? It means the giving of your offering. Look there in verse 33. Verses 33 and 34, and note the different offerings. For the showbread, for the regular grain offering, for the regular burnt offering of the Sabbaths, the new moons and the set feasts, for the holy things, for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and all the work of the house of our God. We cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for bringing the wood offering into the house of our God according to our fathers' houses at the appointed time year by year to burn on the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. We've been reminding you and encouraging you that the Rise Up Capital campaign is about your offering. It's not about your tithe. Your tithe needs to be at the very beginning. That needs to be foundational. And we're going to see that in just a moment. But about what the Lord might lead you to give beyond your tithe. What might be considered your offering. But the tithe is certainly mentioned beginning in verse 35. And if you're wondering about that first fruits offering on November 6th, look at verse 35. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all the trees year by year to the house of the Lord. To bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, that is written in the law, the firstborn of our herds and our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God. To bring the first fruits of our dough, our offerings, the fruit from all kinds of trees, the new wine and oil to the priests, to the storerooms, to the house of our God. And to bring the tithes of our land to the house, to the land for the Levites. For the Levites should receive the tithes in all our farming communities. And the priest, the descendant of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes. And the Levites shall bring up a tenth of the tithes to the house of our God, to the storerooms of the room of their storehouse. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the grain, of the new wine and the oil, to the storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are, where the priests who minister and the gatekeepers and the singers are, and we will not neglect the house of our God. And so we will be committed to giving to God's work, which is the house of the Lord and the ministries of the Lord, not just our tithes, but also our offerings. And then finally, in chapter 12, we're going to be committed to celebrating God's worth. Committed to celebrating God's worth, specifically by singing. And we've done that already this morning, congregationally. We've done it with our children's choir as well. But look in chapter 12 and verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem. And then verse 29, from the house of Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and Azavamath, for the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. And then the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates and the wall. And so I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs, one to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. And then in verse 35, and some of the priests, sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Milkiah, the son of Zachor, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah, Azrael, Milal, Gileal, Mine, Nathanael, Judah, Hananiah, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, Ezra the scribe, went before them. Verse 38, the other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them, with half of the people over the wall, going past the tower of the ovens as far as the broad wall. Verse 40, so the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, likewise I and half of the rulers with me. Verse 42, the singers sang loudly with Jezariah the director, and also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. You see, after the city was restored, and the walls were rebuilt, and the gates were rebuilt, Nehemiah and God's people were committed to celebrating God's worth because he had provided for them. And so, brothers and sisters, what I'm pledging to you this morning, that as we rise up and we make the commitment to that financial work, that here at Emory Baptist Church, with or without a Family Life Center, in the days to come, because it's who we are, we'll be committed to proclaiming God's word. We'll be committed to remembering God's faithfulness. We'll be committed to living according to God's will. We'll be committed to giving to God's work. And we'll be committed to celebrating God's worth. Maybe you're here today and you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to do that this morning. You say, Brother Richard, how do we do that? How do I make that commitment to Christ? Well, first of all, you admit that you're a sinner, and that your sin separates you from God. And then you remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross and in your place and for your sin. And the invitation from Genesis to Revelation is to call on the name of the Lord to save you. And maybe you don't know exactly how to do that or specifically what I mean. In just a moment, after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing during our time of invitation. And I'm going to be here at the front. Brother Ronnie's going to be here at the front. And if today you would like to make that first-time commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. We'd love to counsel with you and celebrate with you and pray with you and help you in that journey that is the greatest decision that you will ever make. Maybe you're here today and you're a guest. And maybe the commitment you need to make is to this local church. And God has said to you, this is where he wants you to be, Emory Baptist Church, not just as a regular attender, but as a committed member. If you would like to make that formal commitment to church membership this morning, we would invite you to come forward. Maybe you need to make a commitment to believer's baptism. Maybe you need to make a commitment to living according to God's will, according to God's word. I'm going to trust that you'll let the Lord have his way in your life and in your heart during our time. But brothers and sisters, let's rise up and let's make the commitment. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Our Father in heaven, we come to you and we're grateful and thankful for the story of Nehemiah. and how you raised up that remnant there in Jerusalem to rebuild the wall and rebuild the gates and rebuild the city. And Father, we're continuing to ask and pray that you would raise us up here at Emory Baptist Church as we seek to make disciples, specifically of children and teenagers. And Father, asking that you provide for us that Family Life Center, which would be a great resource and a great tool. But Father, regardless, we're going to be committed as the nation of Israel was. We're going to be committed as Nehemiah was and led your people to be. And so, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Guide and direct us. Put a desire in our hearts to be committed to your will and your way above all else. And as, Lord, you've spoken this morning through your word, I pray now that your Spirit is at work in our hearts and in our lives, convicting of lostness, drawing men and women and boys and girls unto you, giving them faith to believe and boldness and courage to respond publicly as God has spoken to them. Father in heaven, thank you for our time together this morning. We commit our invitation to you and ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us during our time of invitation, would you respond publicly to God's word today as Brother Chris comes?